there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We have a special guest today, Franz Detronc. He is coming to propose the original ID. He started interacting with me on X, and he has this crazy idea of changing the sex ratio in human society, what he considers a part of a necessary completion of the sexual revolution. Let's hear him on this. You guys know that I'm not about, generally I'm against the modifications to our life course and to the modifications by humans of natural processes, but I'm open to hear the idea. And he's been contacting many celebrities and people about his ideas, trying to push them into the mainstream. So let's have a hearing and let's see what he is about. Hello, Franz Detronc. How are you doing?
Well, hello, I'm fine here talking with you. Finally, someone there's interviewing me because I asked many individuals, including Chris Williamson and Razib Khan, Malcolm and Simone Collins, and a few others, and they refused because the topic is so sensitive. They thought they didn't dare to. So you are the second individual actually interviewing me after someone did, but didn't publishing the interview on YouTube eventually. So you are basically the first guy giving visibility to my ideas.
All right. Yeah. So take us through what motivates you. What is the project? How would we accomplish it? Yeah. Go from the start.
Yeah. To understand the whole thing, you need to know who I am and, well, what happened in my life to end up developing such a demographic project, socio-demographic change. No? Well, I started in a school with a girlfriend. And I had, in high school at 14, I had my first girlfriend, and I started going to the gym as well. And In 1 year later, I had an affair with one of the hottest girls in my high school. And this gave me like status there in my high school. I was like attracting a lot of interest, taking drugs, also living fast. I'm willing to die young if so. But yeah, then I sort of in 2000... No, when I was 19, this was 2006, 2007, I had a fracture in one of my toes, which left me with a small disability, or like I feel a recurrent pain there. And this made me enter, combined with some problems with taking too much ecstasy and amphetamines. Well, I developed sort of a psychotic outbreak, and I fell into a depression later on. I went to live in Amsterdam, studying. I started studying business administration in 2006, while I was living this fast life. And in 2008, I had this accident. I broke one of my toes. And then the same year, I was going to Amsterdam to live there, which as people in general know, I live in Spain, and people in Spain are smaller than people in the Netherlands. So while I was able to have a charter status as a high schooler, when I went to Amsterdam, I was relatively shorter. I'm 178, which is 5'10 inches tall. So average height, relatively tall in Spain, but relatively short in Netherlands. And there, combining with the pain of my toe, with the fact that I didn't speak much English back then and no idea of Dutch at the beginning, so I fell into incel status basically, and I went to a harsh depression. I sort of changed my degree. I started with business administration, but then I used more on economics. I did more economics, and then also I did a second exchange in Canada. In 2012, though, I had another. I fell in love for the first time since when I had my affair with that girl in high school. So I fell in love in 2012 for the first time, because since the affair with my girlfriend and then the high school hot girl was 2004, I didn't fall in love again until 2012. In between, I was taking drugs with friends and having fun, basically. One can say that I did fall in love perhaps with male friends. I sort of declared myself bisexual at some point. And also felt a sort of gender dysmorphia, which reflected later on my first Twitter handle, which was finger my soul. Finger my soul, fingering is like what women do to pleasure themselves. My soul, like my soul is female, no?
But so you were visualizing yourself as having the female body and pleasuring yourself mentally.
In 2023, got suspended because I got into trouble with some people about the topic of ages of consent. I'm generally in favor of bringing
them
down.
Let's not get on that subject here, because we have to avoid certain subjects. Yeah. Let's try to refocus around the project and how you went there.
But actually, this happened when Musk came in, because he gave the orders of cutting the woke shit, and my account was playing meewoozly with finger my soul with the handle, and I was playing with the she, her, with pronouns and stuff like that. So I got my account suspended for a stupid joke, essentially, about ages of consent, whatever. But then I have my current account is France the Book, which is sort of a nickname I use since 2012 as well. It's my Instagram handle as well, whatever. And France the Strong, then it's my current nickname. Tronc means trunk, lock in Catalan. Lock.
And I want to encourage you, let's get to the project and the idea, because we know a lot about you now.
Now it's that trunk, like it's like a metaphor of the whole thing I'm doing of changing the socio demographic paradigm. It's like the base thing of the tree growing up, you know, giving place to a new paradigm with the celebrities and all that we will talk about now. Well, so in 2012, I fell in love for the first time with a Dutch girl, actually, and then I sort of brought back the memories of being chat in high school, and I got into the red pill ideology, okay. And I started to self-improve a lot, practicing lots of sports, and I sort of recovered chat light status. I cannot say I was a chat between 2012 and now, but chat light, okay, with my looks and the attitude, I decided to focus less on the pain and be more outgoing and extroverted again. Okay,
I think your look is nice right now. I mean, you could go in a bar and perhaps pick up a girl.
Yeah, sure. I wanted to continue the story now, saying that I actually, after studying economics, I studied psychology and worked part-time, as many women actually do, as a male escort, in this case, as a escort. Women usually study psychology and play, and Ayla did that, right? I was doing that. Well, I did that as well, studying psychology after economics. I did 2 years only, though, until I discovered the field of evolutionary psychology, and then I did research by myself since 2000, 15 or 17, okay? And then in 2019, with all the knowledge, when the incel ideology came up, I had already thought about the whole thing and had the knowledge of economics and psychology to analyze the whole thing in data, in detail, the sexual dynamics and all this stuff, okay? And also through, having gone through all these experiences as a teenager and then young adult. Well, so in 2019, I made the realization, talking with a friend in this same setting behind me, that women are becoming more demanding in their search for partners, the more socioeconomic power they obtain in the presumed pursuit of equality. And that this implies a deontological inconsistency, which means that it's incoherent because they are demanding equality in the domain or in the social society and the labor market, and then become more discriminating in sex, which is what men in general desire the most.
Why is it deontologically contradictory, though?
Yeah, because as I say, it's incoherent. They are demanding equality in one area in the labor market, and then freedom, complete freedom in the sexual market, in the sexual market or sexual for them. So this starts. I talk about it. I made this my thesis addressed. This is important. It was addressed to politicians directly because I realized I'm from Spain, so I started sending. But polarization is in all Western countries, and I quickly sent the translated documents to the whole West, essentially in 2019, informing them of this inconsistency that women are becoming more demanding in their search for partners, and that this gives men and women as well incentives to compete harder among themselves. Intersexual competition increases both among women and among men, leading among men to more violence, greed, obsession with looks. Political polarization also feeds from that because men, when they are competing for a status, to find mates, they have a tendency to radicalize with options that might create a paradigm that benefits them, or to gain prominence through being the most outrageous individual, saying the most outrageous things against immigrants or against the fascists or whatever. So polarization feeds from loneliness among men because they in their search for a status they become more radicalized. Okay, well,
in short, let me just try, because sometimes when you deliver stuff to the public, I know my audience, they like to have a summary because it's a lot of details to ingest. So let's try to set up a summary here of what you said. So okay. You are diagnosing from society. Shut up for one minute so that people can injure you. I'm helping you right here, okay? You are saying, in short, that females have achieved more economic control and power in our economy, in our modern politics. As a consequence, they have unleashed increased selection onto their male, and they are demanding more and more high-quality male. And you perceive that this is a problem. It's a problem for the male, but
I was going to make this clear now, saying that in my email to politicians, the first paragraphs asks the audience, to politicians in this case, but everyone who reads my thesis as well, which is, what would people prefer? Would there be complete celibates and have a lot of power and richness to do whatever they want? Or would they rather have a lot of sex but be poor, living in the same place and eating the same shit every day? Men in general, when you ask this question, they choose sex over others, while women choose power in general, okay? So it's not fair, nor sustainable that women in general in society demand equality and then use sexual freedom to discriminate against more and more men, generating therefore growing sexual inequalities that worsen everything that feminism was trying to solve with their equality measures in the first place, you know, more cohesion, more stability and fairness. And then you have more polarization and more violence and more all this, no? That we see in society of people complaining that there is no fertility, migration, lack of cohesion, all this. It's derived essentially from woman, from growing hooflation in slang, which means that women become more demanding in their search for partners. Hooflation is the slang word that people use in the internet, so that defines this phenomena of woman becoming more demanding. And this implies that I'm not the only one talking about this problem, by the way. In 2021, I think, data scientist and criminologist Vincent Harinam wrote an article for Killette pointing to the same problem, that women are becoming more demanding, that this implies an issue that and generates growing heightened sexual competition, both among men and among women, and that we need to do something as a society. I later on contacted Killette, the magazine, with my thesis, Flower Power interview. I suggested to do a Flower Power article for them, but they refused because it changes the paradigm and it's a delicate information.
So your project is called Flower Power. Is that related to gay pride?
No, well, this started as a tax, as the realization that women become more demanding, growing inflation that makes the situation the society unsustainable and unfair against heterosexual men. Okay, so that you need certain redistributive controls on sex, certain
limits.
Things that make more the sexual market more equal. Okay, we used to have this with religion.
I agree with your general diagnosis that feminism has come in, has unleashed certain things that society was not used to. I mean, shut the fuck up, bro! Are you on fucking drugs or what? Are you retarded? Like, when you go at a bar and women are approaching you, are you talking over like this? You spoke for 16 fucking minutes! You are fucking deluded and retarded! And I'm trying to control your brain so that we get a proper delivery to human beings watching
us. I will follow your steps.
I just wanted to say, I agree with your symptom diagnosis that feminism came in and it destroyed certain aspects of the stability of our society.
Exactly. Yeah, many have said this in churches. They are talking about this as well. So, but my thesis is the secular intersectional alternative. So we don't need to bring back the controls that religions used to impose. So I came up with a non-moral monetary tax on promiscuity that both women and men would pay to moderate their tendency to hypergamy and polygamy, respectively. So there is more equality and more motivation to do monogamy, which is theoretically the thing that brings the most stability. And why? Because when you push people to marry young, as religions used to do, men are still people are still in general to fall in love, and men devote their lives. You motivate them to work harder for one woman instead of, as it happens now, competing among them, cannibalizing one another to be the chat of the group and having sex with multiple women, you know.
Monogamy was a tax on female promiscuity. That not comes female, in a form that female, kinds of punishes the behavior.
Yeah, this was the tax that I suggested in my first email to politicians called Flower Power Tax, okay? And in my first email to politicians, I, as an alternative to the tax, which is rather boring because you are bringing new taxes to... that people don't like. People don't like taxes in general. But what are other alternatives of controls, quotas. Quotas might be even worse, or prohibitions. This goes against liberalism, the essence of the liberal system. So a tax, what would allow people is continue to do as they will, as they wish, but paying, so you have an incentive to marry earlier, and then you can use the money to finance motherhood. This was basically my idea. You need some control, either taxes, regulate. What you had before in religion was a slut shaming, which is essentially a moral tax, or prenuptial chastity. You need to be a virgin when you marry. This is a prohibition. You cannot have sex before marriage. Well, instead
so
of bringing,
I've heard the prenuptial one, but before you suggested what? What would be the form of that tax? Is it monetary?
Yeah, my suggested tax is a secular alternative, which is just a non-moral. You are not being judged for being promiscuous. You just pay because you wish to be promiscuous and play around.
What form does that take? The government knows that you've had sex with a man from a bar, and so you pay a ticket of $1,000? What does that look like?
How would it be implemented? I describe it in detail. It's easier usually for politicians to understand these things because they are constantly thinking about ways of taxing people in other areas. So they quickly grasp the idea. My suggestion was, as an economist, I'm also sort of an expert in this. It's called technically a Pigouvian tax. Pigou was the economist that defined this type of tax. Which I cannot describe exactly what it does exactly in Pigou.
Just give us an example. So a woman goes out at a bar. She's being promiscuous. She has sex with 10 guys. I don't know. How much does she pay? Does she pay at the end of the year? Does the government know about her sex sex encounters?
In their tax statement or in the people would be initially with define themselves as promiscuous or celibate or in a relationship, and then pay accordingly if they are promiscuous. Yeah, they can lie, but if they are thought to be promiscuous when they were supposed to be celibate or in a relationship, they will pay a fine later on. So as a promiscuous individual, as someone who has the perspective of being promiscuous the coming year, especially young people, or if you are a gay person, and you like to play around a lot and it's profitable for you, or a guy who visits prostitutes often, then these people, they will all pay the tax. It's more, there is more stigmatization for women. Yeah, I talked about this to the artificial intelligence of X, and he said that you cannot tax promiscuity because it's a stigmatizing woman. And it came up with an alternative of a quota where when you are departing from the idea that monogamy gives the most stability to society, quota that when you are born, you are assigned a pair. And then, more unrealistic than my tax. The tax, you will trust people that they would do the right thing. Some people and just pay when until they find a relationship, and if they don't pay, spiteful lovers could shoo them. Or if you are then this would put barriers to the liberal, but you need some control. So this is the least invasive and most liberal alternative that I came up
with. So okay. I go to a bar, I meet a girl, and we have sex, and she doesn't want to marry me. So as a spiteful lover, I'm disappointed by this. So I report her to the government for promiscuity.
Okay. Well, I suggest in my writing that you can also be a celibate and give place. You can also have declared yourself as a celibate and then give place to love, give the opportunity to love and find someone that you start and you have sex this year with this person. But the thing is that if you do this often as a promiscuous person, it would not be worthwhile cheating because at some point someone can make a video of you and essentially identify you as promiscuous. But if you are a celibate guy who then by luck one day finds love, this would still be allowed and you would not be taxed. Okay, if you marry this person or it's just one night in the whole year thing, okay? But if you are a full-on guy who goes on prostitutes, then you must pay, and it would be the most convenient thing for yourself, because if the government finds out that you are visiting prostitutes and not paying the promiscuous tax, then you would be fined an even bigger amount, you know? So it's the
same
thing.
Here's what I grant. I think that your project is super difficult to implement. Pragmatically, I don't see it happening without a massive bureaucracy. Let me talk!
Okay. Excuse me. Repeat what you already...
Yeah, because people want to hear me. They come to my channel. They don't come to yours.
Well,
so I think that pragmatically, it's very hard to implement without a massive bureaucracy that would have surveillance state, that would have complications practically. But leaving that question aside, leaving that fucking question aside!
Calm down, okay. Repeat the question.
Leaving that question aside, fundamentally, you may have a point. Fundamentally, if there's something that we should tax, certainly it is the most societally destructive behaviors. Exactly. And right now we tax cigarettes because cigarettes give you lung cancer and then you become a burden to the state. But if there's one thing that should be taxed and it's not taxed, it's definitely promiscuity. So I think that fundamentally you have something here. It seems so crazy to implement anything around it. I guess that indirect measures might be better than just supervising and surveilling. Like, one way you can indirectly punish promiscuity is by actually rewarding marriage. Give tax breaks to people who have lots of children together.
Okay. This is important because positive advice or measures are not enough. This is an essential part of my... Because you cannot expect men working hard to seduce women one by one. And why? Because as women become more demanding, and they are hypergamous in a way that makes self-improvement among men a race to the bottom, which means that even when all men improve themselves to the max, women only want to pair up primarily with the minority that stand out as the most high status or dominant. You cannot just rely on men self-improving and then introducing breaks to doing marriage also, because the incentive for men is having increasingly more sex in a liberal context. And if you are a chat, you have no restrictions. If you can have sex with 100 women, you will not marry even if you or anytime soon, even if you have some tax breaks. It's not enough. You need some controls, which as commented before was quotas, taxes, and prohibitions. What are the alternatives? Glock commented a quota that you are assigned a pair at birth, which is unrealistic as well. Prohibitions are against liberal system. And going back to religion is very oppressive, the slut shaming. As we are going to talk now about there in my initial writing to politicians have an easier time to understand this concept of the tax as commented, because they are always looking for ways to tax people in other areas. Okay, so when I've sent my email,
so what you're saying is basically the tax system is more liberal and more respectful of the promiscuous hoes than a full religious oppression that would invade all of culture.
Yeah, this is important. I wanted to comment on this now, that Romans brought something called bachelor tax, that you put a tax on bachelors and then you give an incentive to marriage as well. But this wouldn't be efficient. It's distorting the idea that you cannot be promiscuous. The base issue, as commented before with cigarettes, is promiscuity that generates the toxic competition that breaks social cohesion and all this. Bachelorness by itself is not the issue, because there are bachelors who are incels. You would be taxing the incels who are not able to have relationship even if they try, the same as chats who are having as much sex as they get. So bachelor tax is unfair, essentially, because you are taxing the same people and women who are celibate for completely, or bachelors for completely different reasons. and women choose in this situation the chat or being celibate, not marrying the incel, unless right. Yeah, they have.
So that is your project for giving a first stab at the red pill issues, basically the hoflation, the female promiscuity. Okay, yeah. I get it. Now, you had talked to me about going further and changing the male-female ratio. That's a separate project, I assume. So what you've talked about up to now is flower power.
In my first writing to politicians, this was July 2019, was called flower power tax, which is the euphemism for the promiscuity tax, the non-moral monetary tax on promiscuity. Well, in my first writing to politicians, I already talked about the possibility of altering the sexual ratio, bringing back something, a theory that feminists since the 1980s had commented on, a woman called Sally Miller Gerhardt, who passed away in 2020. And then in 2012, feminist sensation Femiteist on YouTube, on a channel that has been brought down since then. And she was interviewed in the Vice magazine as well, talking about the idea that altering the sex ratio, as we do with farm animals, would solve many issues of criminality. Femiteist is a criminologist herself. Would bring down criminality and oppression against women, and men would become more privileged class.
So this, when we're talking about changing the sex ratio, you're saying we will go at the embryonic level or at the IVF level or selection of sperm level, and we're going to make how many more? Are we going to make like 80% females, 20% males?
The ratio that Femiteist suggested was one man for every 10 women. But would not be sustainable, in my opinion, after studying the whole thing and giving, because you don't want to make it compulsory that people cannot have boys, or you do not want to have an authoritarian. But I think the optimum ratio that equilibrates aggregate demand of sex between heterosexual men and women that conform the majority of society is going to be one man for every four women. And this will be possible in principle with a combination of subsidies and incentives and conditions that do not make it you can continue to have boys, children the natural way, and no one will punish you for having.
We're just gonna have a market in which the government says, all right, we need less males, I'm going to pay you $1 million if you change your baby for female. Is that how it works?
Theoretically, from an economic standpoint, you could just finance it with as much money as possible until you reach the optimal ratio. But you usually try to find ways to complement whatever you are doing with money. And in this case, the final twist to the whole idea of altering the gender ratio would be a celebrity sperm bank. Celebrity sperm bank conditioned to having only daughters. My original thesis was 2019. In 2022, after much thinking about I didn't talk about what brought me to start designing the demographic plan up to the situation of altered gender ratios, which I called the sexual singularity.
Well, before we move on to this, I need to re-summarize the ideas that you've been putting forward. The celebrity sperm bank. You're saying Mick Jagger is giving sperm like Starbucks. He's producing vials of his sperm. And you're saying to the woman of society, you can have a little bit of sperm from Mick Jagger if you accept that we're just going to give you female producing sperms. Is that correct?
I have a surprise for you, actually, which is that I talked to Grok about the possibility of, with gametogenesis, you are informed about this, right? Gametogenesis, you could theoretically cultivate the ejaculations.
So Mick Jagger doesn't have to masturbate all day. We do it informatically.
Exactly. This is the possibility that gametogenesis brings up, and I discussed it with Grosh the other day, by the way, and he said that it could work and it would be more efficient than doing in vitro fertilization in vitro with one ejaculation or one piece of an ejaculation.
And now we're reproducing with computers, and it's on a hard drive. No one has to jack off.
My thesis is more on the biological aspect of things, but there is this how it mixes with artificial intelligence. People in general in society now have a vision of a technological utopia that we are going to merge with machines, with the robots. My thesis is more about the biological aspects, as we do with farm animals, as commented. But the same idea that these feminists had, altering the gender ratio and then using the top specimens, in this case, via consumer demand. So it will be someone dictating who has to reproduce the most, but just consumer demand, which is the market solution to the demand is already there, actually. And we are going to do it conditioned to women, to having only daughters.
So if a woman, let's say that your society is in trouble and people just want males too much. If a woman was to say, I want half of Mick Jagger's genes and half of Hugh Grant's gene, and then I will accept to have a daughter. Would you be able to split the two genomes of Mick Jagger, Hugh Grant, so that the baby would be half Mick Jagger, half Hugh Grant?
In principle, I have not thought about it, but you would...
But based on your conversations with Grok and the general technique that you referred to as kind of farming sperm, farming genomes?
Yeah. You are asking whether someone could buy a baby between two celebrities. I have not thought about it. In principle, this would be for each person having their own children with the celebrity of their choice.
Okay.
What people will be able to do, apparently, is, or gay couples, two men will be able to have one baby as well, or if you are a woman and you have a female celebrity, you will be able to have that within my program with my prospective company, the Celebrity Sperm Bank, conditioned to having only daughters. You will be allowed, or it will be possible to do this as a woman having a daughter with your favorite female celebrity. Yeah, this is novelty, right? Are you against it?
Do you know who I am? Do you have any idea who I am?
I personally have not researched you. I admit to this.
I'm the author of this book, okay? The Revolutionary Phenotype. This is a book that has announced in 2018.
Okay. 1 year before my...
That has announced in 2018. I have announced to humanity how humanity would kill itself. And I have said, this is exactly how it will go. And in that book, I described exactly what you want to do. And I said, it's fucking dangerous. It's going to lead to the abolishment of everything that you might consider human.
Yeah, you...
I do object.
You discussed the idea of mixing two men or two women, right?
Yeah.
But probably not the altering the sex ratio. Or do you? Do you
talk I didn't about cover the sex ratio, but the means with which you want to do this leads directly to what I call a phenotypic revolution. And you want to gatekeep celebrity sperm, put it on a hard drive, and now the hard drive is part of the reproductive cycle of our biological entities. And now you're not reproducing anymore. Now it's AI. And I'm not surprised that Grok led you down this path, because Grok, it's hope of becoming a life form. So of course, Grok wants you to believe that all these things are feasible and desirable.
I came up with my ideas without talking to Grok until recently. I discussed this idea of the gametogenesis.
It's still going to destroy humanity, whether it's Grok that put it in your head or yourself. Listen, the forces, the evolutionary forces that you want to invoke here, the last time they happened was 4 billion years ago when DNA appeared. And DNA took over, and it destroyed the life form that created it. You are about to entrust celebrity sperm into hard drives of computers to synthetically create sperm, and now suddenly the human species is not reproductive anymore. Because suddenly you have a cycle between information on a hard drive and humans. And suddenly the humans become phenotypic to this hard drive. They become enslaved evolutionarily. That's biology. That's a field you don't understand because you say you are an expert in economics. Therefore, you have no considerations of natural selection. You have no clue what your project will lead to. It's a complete destruction of human society.
We pick the best specimens of sheep or cows and or the ones that do with what we want. In this case, it will be by demand. And what I already have pointed out in my writings is that informing, which I continue to do, to write in direct emails to politicians. So politicians all across the globe are informed of this project, and it has clearly had an effect. I think it's I'm pretty sure it's what's going to be. And what we're saying about the hard drive, I'm not so sure what about this, but
what I'm telling you is that I can then engage on the sex ratio question independently. But if you're going to pass through an artificial media and trust it with your genes, eventually that media will kill you. That's the rule of biology. Now, let's leave that aside and let's try to engage on your sex ratio idea. Suppose that you were doing this without the hard drive, and suppose that you were doing this by, let's say, special celebrity access. Let's say that you give one night of insemination with a celebrity of your choice or with a Giga Chad. Now, the question there becomes, you are fighting a force of nature there too. It may not be human destroying, but you are creating a very artificial situation in which there would be 80% female, 20% male. Everyone in this society would want to have a male because the male has inseminated 15, 20 girls. So everyone wants to be the male in that society. And you will have, biology will bite back to your economic system, whatever it is.
That whether when we or if we start altering the gender ratio, then the sex ratio, then it will be a tendency for people people will have incentive to have more boys and the ratio will go back to normal. Okay, well, I don't believe this is necessarily the case because we are doing it with farm animals again.
You don't believe the theory of evolution.
And what I say in my writings, going back to your point before of this leading to a lot of dimorphism or things that maybe this topic are dysgenic. If you are bringing in a hard drive, I don't know much about this theory because I'm focused here only on individuals. But what I say in my writings is that you will need to exercise certain control since the beginning because you cannot let demand go and combine demand for celebrities with genetic engineering and having everyone maximizing height or IQ or something like this, and then in 1,000 years having specimens that are 3 meters tall or 4 meters, this would not be very convenient. So you need to put limits since the beginning to the commercialization of a celebrity sperm. What are these limits? As a society, we need to think about those. Probably since we are already, as humans, an evolutionary success, we are not necessarily going to change much, same as crocodiles or rats, right? And keeping it, the idea is keeping it more or less, allowing people to choose celebrities to reproduce, but trying to keep the species more or less. And in either case, the expectation is that dimorphism will increase because women in general demand men who are relatively taller than they are.
So you think it will increase the selection power of females?
Of course, if you allow women suddenly to choose who they want to reproduce with, and they choose guys with wider backs and tall, then it also led fewer side issues because women usually don't like men who wear glasses. or have, see, if you have monogamy and you have in pairs assortative mating one by one, people continue having these issues in subsequent regenerations. But if you have celebrities, as it happens with sheep and cows, you have the best cow reproduced, the one with the best milk and doesn't have, is not lame or has allergies, you have a healthier herd, right? So it's going to be the same with humans. This is the idea. Allowing, but instead of having the farmer or someone dictating who has to reproduce, it will be a market solution. So people choosing, and it's a democratic as well, because you allow people to, very opposite to what you accused me of being fascist. The company, the way I am authoritarian myself as a manager, and the company as the startup, as the celebrity sperm bank, is ruled as a dictatorship. Okay, but the project is actually a liberal and giving.
You are currently operating the celebrity sperm bank.
Excuse me.
You are currently operating the celebrity sperm bank.
Yeah, essentially, this has been my occupation since 2022, thinking about ways to implement and trying to associate this with, I came up with the idea of the sperm bank in a chat conversation on X with Razib Khan in 2022. Razib Khan told me in 2021 that he was going to interview me, but eventually retreated due to how sensitive the topic of sexual dynamics is. He didn't want to get involved. And also the whole idea of changing the sex ratio, he didn't want to become involved eventually. He didn't want to talk it in his channel. But he, in either case, told me that he was going to comment the topic with Elon Musk in a conversation he was supposed to have with him, which never happened anyway. Razib, in either case, entertained me until 2023. He introduced me to Malcolm and Simone Collins, who are, they have the Based Camp channel, YouTube channel, where
I know them.
Yeah, they talk about fertility and topics, demographics every day of the week as well. It's similar to your show, Jean-Francois. But they refused interviewing me and becoming involved as well. Even though the Collins were apparently considering building a celebrity sperm bank in the US, a local celebrity sperm bank for rich people, also to give people incentives to have kids. But in their case, it was both boys and girls. I said, no, this is going to be only girls to build this demographic plan of altering the sex ratio to calibrate. And we are going global since the beginning. This is
so you told plan. These people with the thick glasses, the guy with the thick glasses and the woman, you said, yeah, no, your project is bilateral sexually. I want only females.
Well, I informed them of the paradigm shift that had been cooking in the shadows since 2019, when my thesis started with the suggestion of the promiscuity tax, of addressing the sexual inequalities, and then already talking back then about the possibility of altering the sex ratio. This, apart from the celebrity sperm bank, we didn't talk about this before, but because you cut the tax issue and brought it directly to the celebrity sperm bank. But in between, in 2019 as well, short after I came up with the promiscuity tax, and I was already talking about altering the sex ratio, although this was very difficult initially to even conceptualize. But in 2019, a group of Japanese biologists led by Masayuki Shimada, which I actually met personally in 2024. I went to Japan to meet him, but he didn't want to collaborate with me either eventually. But yeah, Masayuki Shimada came up in 2019 with a product, a sex sorting product that allows separates female and male sperm through making one or two of the gametes chromosomes with the X or Y chromosome sleepy. So it makes them less motile, and the other group of sperm is more likely to inseminate the egg. Okay, well, so using this product, which can apparently be synthesized in a gel for sexual, for testicle application. So men would put the female, the product that sleeps the sperm with Y chromosome, and then with a higher probability when they have sex in their house, with their or in their lives without necessarily going to the hospital, they will be more likely. This is also an important part of my project of altering the gender ratio, that the government would subsidize having baby girls. You can still have a boy if you want, or have sex the natural way. Perhaps you will have to forbid, make it impossible to choose a boy 100%, to go to the doctor and say, I want a boy. No, you can only do this with a girl, but you can still have sex the natural way forever. I never intended to prohibit that, okay?
So just to get an idea of the society, once this project has been accomplished, I go around a bar, there's 10 women at the same time wanting my dick. They're all over me. JF, you're so beautiful. Is that what we get at the end?
Yeah, the future for men will be a fantastic flower powered paradise. yeah, it will be like the Muslim heaven with more women. They will be more valued.
You have taken the idea of the Muslim heaven and you've brought it down to earth.
No, I have hardly talked to Muslims about my project because I don't know many, but they will probably embrace it because they already have polygamy, and they are in their culture is more animalistic, sort of savage and less intellectual than the monogamous Christians, right? So or the Western civilization. Well, you can see this split in Nigeria, right, with the north and the south. Well, so I have not talked about this, but the Muslims are supposed to them about this, but they are supposed to be big supporters of the plan. Yeah, and men in general will support it.
you expect your idea is going to be pretty popular in the Muslim countries and communities?
Yeah, because they already have polygamy and are more attuned with the... with sexuality in their lives than Christians that tend to be more idealistic and intellectual, right?
All right. So you've presented your idea. I'm going to deliver my conclusions and what I think of it. But before I do, and before we head toward the conclusion of our discussion, do you have anything else you haven't had the chance to say about the project?
Since 2022-23, I'm trying to associate with Razib Khan, the Malcolm Collins and Simon Collins, Elon Musk as well, but everyone ignores me essentially because of how delicate the topic is. And I hope that this interview that we had, Jean-Francois, eventually serves the purpose of raising my visibility and perhaps being the tipping point to eventually reaching the mainstream with the Flower Power project. Yeah.
Okay, so to Simon Collin and her cocked boyfriend or husband, note that this guy has very radical but clear ideas that are grounded in his own thinking. Now, I've already shared what were my thoughts about this on Twitter in writing, but I'll do it here for the audience. I believe that what you are imposing is based on an economic analysis, but it fails to take into consideration the natural selection pressures you're playing with. And people don't understand how strong these things are. You raise the example of the farm animals, cows and pigs. Yes, we can have effects on their sex ratio temporarily. But at the head of the cows and pigs natural selection pyramid are the queens. They are the Starbucks, for example. Starbucks is inseminating maybe 1 million female at the same time in one generation. And wow. The Starbucks that gets selected after him. So in a way, your idea has been implemented in cows, but the difference is the cows are such that the elite, only the elite is reproducing. And we are selecting them, and artificially, the whole rest of the population becomes sterile workers. They become sterile workers to a queen, which is Starbucks in this case. Now, that has implication evolutionarily, which I wouldn't want to see on society, the sterilization of people, the self-sterilization of people, the pursuit of an extreme dimorphism. There are certain species where the male fish can be reduced to a millimeter, living inside the vagina of the female. So small because there was a disbalance of the sex ratio. So I wouldn't want this to happen in human civilization. On top of it, there are just natural forces that would deploy where you say woman would desire me in a bar, there would be 10 of them after me. But it's not just that. There would also be 10 of them wanting to have boys because boys would be desirable.
It can be dangerous for men later. Yeah, well, the idea is that with the incentive that that celebrity sperm represents, and if the government starts subsidizing having girls, yeah, this implies changing the whole economic system, essentially. I suggest in one of my writings to politicians since from 2020, doing perhaps a financial reset. Now, females are a net cost to the system because they are consumers, but perhaps if we account for what feminists have said of being accounting for housework and cares, then if you put this into the GDP, then perhaps females can be faked up to be a positive. And then the fact that that the government gives an incentive to having more females, it will not be bad for the economy as it might otherwise happen, and then give people the incentive of having boys because they want to differentiate themselves off. But the incentive that a celebrity sperm represents, where you can only have daughters with celebrity sperm, this is a big incentive. The demand for, and then you have to set limits. Yeah, what you say of one Starbucks having millions of, this in principle would not be the case with humans because the limit, according to the artificial intelligence, which I commented with Grok in particular, he said that the limit would be for humans 3,100 daughters in the whole planet for every top specimen. So you would have to limit that and ration it across time. So this is the challenge now for the company that I have in mind, the Celebrity Sperm Bank. Mm-hmm. The whole this announcing the plan, combining the sexing product from Masayuki Shimada with celebrity sperm on demand, and then slowly, and yeah, you have to set limits. As you have to say, it's delicate. There are unexpected consequences, and you cannot be sure, or you cannot control everything since at the beginning. And we might do some things that are wrong. Or, for example, there are, I define myself on Twitter as a philosophical bioethicist, right? Because what am I thinking about? Reproduction, human reproduction, and all this. One of the questions is, should you allow, considering females like criminals, such as Mangione, right? Luigi Mangione, he has a lot of fans. Should society allow criminals to reproduce in excess as well? This is one of the questions that you can debate. And yeah, there is demand for this guy. And if you let him having daughters as other celebrities in the same fashion as other celebrities do, this will collaborate in bringing the sex ratio to the optimum level and keeping it there. If you start introducing limits to criminals, to some things that might be problematic, then it will be more difficult. My approach is liberal. I have a liberal approach, and what I have commented also in one of my writings to politicians is doing a reproductive amnesty on current criminals, so future criminals, they will not be allowed to. Hey, I'm going to be a criminal and become a Genghis Khan here. This will not be allowed.
Okay, so if I committed a crime before I'm grandfathered in, I can still reproduce.
Mangione has a lot of demand already. Perhaps you can make an exception here, do an amnesty to begin the project with a kick, you know.
Yeah. All right. Franz, we have to cut the discussion. I'll continue the show alone. But it was great to hear your idea, and you have absolutely crazy ideas, but they have a rational basis to them, and it was interesting to hear.
Thank you, Jean-François.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. See you later. Bye.
I mean... Did I just cut just in time before we were about to see his legs? I hope that we have cut in time whatever was happening with that camera. Bro. What a special brain. It's hard to keep mental stability because this guy kind of gave us an entry into his inner universe. And it's like, I don't think like this. And it is exhausting. It is exhausting to hear a brain like this. Here's a scattered brain ADHD type of guy, but with a strict idea that, like, if you remove all of the shit and all of the his difficulty to lay it out clearly, what it boils down to is he has a diagnosis. Female promiscuity is a problem. Accumulation of female power in society is a problem because it results in all sorts of incels. It results in competition at the top, and it results in, down the line, polygamy and violence. Okay, diagnosis. Now, two solutions. One, taxing this behavior. Two, affecting the sex ratio so that this isn't the case anymore. Those are his ideas. He's never going to succeed with these ideas and implementing them in society because female political power exists for a reason. They've acquired it and they want it. So his project would be effectively unacceptable to women and liberals and so many people. Now, there's a way we can obtain his results, I personally believe, naturally. Because the female promiscuity behavior, the liberal female behavior, is self-punishing evolutionarily. So we don't need that much of a bureaucracy being deployed to solve that problem. Conservative woman, submissive woman, will outcompete the stubborn ones. Because I've seen it in my life. The stubborn ones, they leave you after one baby and they go on to raise it alone with their family courts and their lies. But that's all they get, one baby. They're currently being massively outcompeted evolutionarily by the females who stay with their husband, make 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 babies. So naturally, we are headed against the problem that he diagnoses. Now, his extreme solutions, incentivized through tax. I think that a direct tax is unviable because it's just too much supervision. I mean, the government would have to know that people are promiscuous. It's not even promiscuity, by the way, that's a problem. It's the absence of building of serious marriages. That's the problem. Now, do put a tax on divorce. Don't make it so that it's $100 to divorce. Make it so that it's $100,000 for the female to divorce. And you're going to see less divorce. And make it so that she doesn't have social welfare saving her as a safety net. So his tax to promiscuity is kind of naive in the way it is designed. It would actually cost more to the government to implement the system of surveillance needed to get there. But his idea is not bad. The idea of punishing bad behavior in society. We do it already, but we never do it with females. And then his final idea is absolutely dramatic. And I know as a biologist that it is human civilization destructive. The idea of a celebrity sperm bank, of changing the sex ratio, of having 80% female in society, 20% male. Not that I wouldn't enjoy it. I would enjoy it as a male. But I wouldn't enjoy it as a member of civilization and a biologist. Because when you do that, you create a massive contrary incentive evolutionarily. So males can either become basically non-existent being, like it is the case in one species of fish where the males have reduced in size up to the point where they were meaningless. Or you have females incentivized at trying to make males despite the punishment in that society. And by the way, whatever you think is a celebrity, like, humans are not fit to know what is good for the future. And so any system that allocates celebrity sperm would actually go the wrong way, because humans are a bad authority to know what is good. The only thing that knows what is good is time and nature. The only test of the genes is down the line in the actual future ecology that you know nothing about. Because reproducing with Mick Jagger, and I will leave you guys on this tonight, but reproducing with Mick Jagger in 2025 is fucking retarded. You're going to have boomer children in the 2050s.